Now batting for Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens, take your pick, Cody Rhodes. Payback's a bitch. What's up, everybody? It is Monday night, August 14th, 2023. Welcome to this edition of your WWE Raw post-show. I am Don Tony. I want to thank you very much for joining me. Tonight we'll talk a little Raw, get to a couple of news tidbits, little ratings, got some detailed ratings numbers for you, and hype up a little bit of this week in wrestling history. This week is a banger. I promise you it's a banger. I tell you, you know, not to give anything away early, but this screenshot always gets me. Talk about Bizarro Land, everyone. 2000 election. We had The Rock at the Republican National Convention, and we had Linda McMahon at the Democratic National Convention. If anybody's into politics, doesn't that kind of seem like the complete opposite of what it should have been? And look at The Rock. He's sitting next to President George Bush, the elder, and he's got this look on his face like, man, you fucking made me go to this shit, man. I mean, that's just priceless. That's priceless. Oh, you want a little Bizarro World? Should we do a little Bizarro World right off the bat? Should we upset some people right off the bat? This week in wrestling history, we celebrate the anniversary that Jake the Snake Roberts showed his true colors. Never trust a snake. Turned on the Ultimate Warrior. And you remember when the Ultimate Warrior was surrounded by snakes and he was about to pass out and he looked up and the Undertaker was looking down at him and Paul Bearer's like this. That was epic. Epic. But I got to be honest with you. Every time I watch that segment going back to the 80s, it always seemed a little bit sexual, even though it wasn't. And I know for any longtime listener or viewer right now, they're like, oh, God, DT's going to go there. Yes, I am. Because many years ago, I was bored, and I took this segment, I trust you, Snake Man, and then Jake turned on him, and I decided to mix it up a little bit and give you the Triple X version of that segment where Jake the Snake Roberts turned on the Ultimate Warrior. In case you never heard my twisted humor, here you go.
Yeah. Now we've gotten to the place that holds it all, brother. You've trusted me to this point.
So far.
The warrior has no fear. Let me in.
Stand back, my man. Learn to live. Learn to slide in, my man.
Now, come on, let's get to the center of the room,
spoke
brother.
Nothing of this, Snake Man.
Oh, come on, it's part of what you've been through. Trust me. Trust me, go to the center of the
trust
room.
Trust me, damn it!
Where it all went. Come on. You gotta get closer to see the answer.
A little closer, time. Warrior.
I promise. I swear to you, Warrior. In all I believe, it's there.
What is it, Snake Man?
Oh, you, maybe I'll shed a little light on the subject for you there, big guy. Huh? What do you think about that, Warrior? Just a little skin prick. Nothing that'll hurt you.
Oh, it's not what the doctor ordered. No! Is the heart beating a little faster? Is your blood pumping, Warrior? Relax, I've told you.
No, it's not over yet.
Come on, Warrior. Fight all you want. Fight all you want, Warrior. There's nothing left to give me, is there?
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Come on, don't you give up.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens to all good men.
My whooped creative mixing skills. There you go. I know I pissed off some people off tonight. That's okay. Rated PG, everyone. Rated PG. We'll get into that a little bit later. Raw tonight, not a bad show. I'm going to go there. It'll upset some people. You don't put matches on pay-per-view simply because you feel they should be on pay-per-view. In this case, with Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus, WWE feels that the only way you could close out this chapter is with a special gimmick. In this case, a cage match. One-on-one in the ring. Now, in hindsight, since this is, we're nearing the end of Trish Stratus's current run. And listen, this is a goat facing the goat. So this is a big deal for both women. Make no mistake about it. This is history. And I brought this up even yesterday. You know, this may have not been the greatest feud, but you got Trish, who's 47 years old, that's going to be 48. Becky Lynch, who is 36, but still can go. I'm not saying that Trish can't go, but you watch that match on Raw tonight, it did not feel pay-per-view quality, and they got quite a bit of time. You could see that, you know, this is why a lot of the older women from 15, 20 years ago, they have a hard time getting any kind of momentum, even if they still try to go. There's some exceptions. Mickie James is an exception to the rule. Trish has done a decent job. Plus, you got to close this book with Lita in some capacity. So tonight, the match ends in a double count out, which was kind of stupid. Then they brawl at a concession stand, which was all right. I mean, for me, the saving grace with it was when Trish Stratus grabbed one of her shirts and she was like kind of like propping it up to like give a little cheap plug for herself. I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, the thing that I thought was stupid was Adam Pearce reading her the riot act after all this goes down. Oh, you snuck your way out of another match. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Both women brawled into the crowd, got counted out. You know, it was really, really stupid. And something else, and I don't criticize Michael Cole much at all, but I was a little baffled tonight. Early on when Michael Cole was talking about JD McDonagh, and Michael Cole says that JD McDonagh for the last several weeks have been trying out for the Judgment Day? When was this? I mean, I know he's Finn Balor's buddy and storyline. You know, he showed up last. Where did this tryout happen the last couple of weeks? So, I don't know. Tonight, I celebrate my love for you. I trust you, Snake Man. Tonight was, I don't know, a little passable, to be honest with you. And now you see what they're doing with Cody Rhodes. My friends, I think we've kind of figured it out. They might have blew their load with Brock Lesnar a little bit too early. Because who is the next step above Brock Lesnar to kill a month or two so Cody could now be on the road to the Royal Rumble and then ultimately the road to WrestleMania and ultimately WrestleMania 40 and dethroning Roman Reigns? What do you do with him now? Well, I know what you do with him. You have him interact with Sami Zayn. And since Kevin Owens can't go right now, you kind of have them getting beat down from the Judgment Day. And Seth Rollins is busy with Shinsuke Nakamura, so Seth Rollins is out. Dominic Mysterio's NXT champion, so Dominic has to focus on NXT a little bit more. So now you slide JD McDonagh in this, and Payback looks like it's either going to be a 2-on-2 or a 3-on-3 if Kevin Owens could go. If it's a 6-man tag, it'll be Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Cody Rhodes versus the Judgment Day, including JD McDonagh. If Kevin Owens cannot go, it'll probably be Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest. That's what we have to look forward to with Cody Rhodes over the next month, minimum. Kind of feels like a screeching halt. I mean, I'm not overly complaining, but it just goes to show you that, okay, Brock Lesnar, I know people, some of them are still bitter that Brock Lesnar, they never explain why Brock attacked Cody. Fine, I get it. But now it's like, wow, We're going to go into October. We're going to go September into October, and we're going to be left with more of the same. The only difference is Cody Rhodes now gets beat the fuck down. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of tired of it. You know, I used to get tired when I see Orange Cassidy open up Dynamites too many times. To me, I almost feel like I want to hear Orange Cassidy's theme when Judgment Day comes out. And I love Judgment Day. I have no issues with any member. I still enjoy watching them on TV. But, man, it's getting too fucking predictable. And, you know, JD McDonagh, I don't mind him in it. But I'm not going to suddenly, like, buzz and be ooh and ah, like, because he's on TV. You know, this is kind of like, eh. And by the way, I got to address this early on. We'll address Edge, too, because there's something big going down. And I found out the origin of it. So I'll explain. This could be a big deal Friday on SmackDown. Before I get into that, I want to address a rumor that's floating around on Twitter. And I know the origin of the rumor. So I want to dispel it, because if you remember what I talked about over the weekend about Twitter now paying people as long as you could get enough views, you got established, esteemed, very, very high-end podcasters and journalists addressing bullshit just for views. That's what you have on Twitter right now. So me, I guess I'm the spoiler in some ways. I'm the party pooper. I'm the asshole. I'm the scumbag. No, I'd rather give my viewers and my listeners the truth. There's a report going around that the Bloodline storyline may go on hiatus. And the reason why it's going on hiatus is because they really want to give other people to step up. Notice I didn't ever tell you who those other people are. LA Knight? No, he's going to be busy with The Miz. He'll probably be taking on The Miz at Payback. You know why people are posting that? And this is, I promise you, this will be a fact. Because they have no fucking clue where this storyline is going next. They have no idea when Jey Uso will be back. They all made these custom thumbnails of Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso at Payback. I even had a little fun with it, because here's a little cheap plug for anybody that might be interested in it. Tuesday, August 29th, Kev Castle and yours truly will be doing preview and predictions for Payback. Yes, my thumbnail will change between now and then. I just thought my creativity making that thumbnail looked pretty damn cool. But these people have no clue where the Bloodline goes from here, so they use the H word, hiatus. You think the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, you think Jey Uso quitting, Jimmy Uso turning heel, turning on his brother, Solo Sikoa, you know, in the midst of all, they're just going to go eat sushi in the Bahamas for the next month? Is anybody in their right mind? These are the same jerk-offs that right after SummerSlam said to you that Roman Reigns is not advertised for any dates in September. No shit, nobody was. In fact, that same wrestling news scumbag site wrote today that Bianca Belair has not been on TV since SummerSlam. And do you know a lot of these esteemed journalists, instead of just blocking these assholes and like, what a fucking jerk off. It's only been 1 week since SummerSlam. You know what they do? They respond. Why? Because that wrestling news site has got 800,000 views on that thread right now. So if my response shows up that, oh, it's only been a week, I get credited for views too. That's what we're dealing with right now. So what you hear about the Bloodline, it's basically people left out in the dark. And Bianca Belair stuff, we're not even going to go there. So, all right. First of all, we got to give you two injury updates. First, let's talk about the more serious one, Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville had successful surgery to repair the torn ACL. That is a picture of her after surgery. She is doing comfortably. The surgery was a success. She will be out of action at minimum, possibly the Royal Rumble. Sonya Deville will be out for the foreseeable future. Now, before we get to the other injury that we got to talk about, something happened on Raw tonight that kind of adds a little storyline twist to the women's tag team championships. And don't be surprised if this, I don't think it's going to get resolved at Payback. And no disrespect to Chelsea Green or Piper Niven or Katana Chance or Kanan Carter. I wouldn't put that on a pay-per-view. But in case you didn't see Raw tonight, this happened. Why does Piper Niven have the women's tag team championship? Because Chelsea Green refuses to give them back to Adam Pearce. And instead, Chelsea Green wants to have auditions of who her next tag team partner could be. And then they will defend the championships. So Adam Pearce, extremely stern. Stern towards Trish Stratus. You will fight in a cage. Gunther will defend the Intercontinental Championship against Chad Gable next week. But the women's tag team championships, I melt like butter. I melt like butter. So what happens? Katana Chance and Kayda Carter show up. They tell Chelsea Green, oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to fight for the championships. And I almost said Doudrop. Piper Niven lays them out. Piper Niven says, I'm your fucking tag team partner. And Chelsea Green's like, no, 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 no. We're going to do auditions. You have to put your name in the date. And she's like, I don't think you fucking understand, dummy. I am your tag team partner. I am your tag team champion. And Adam Pearce is nowhere to be found. Mr. Softy was outside. He was having ice cream, everybody. So there's your stupidity with the women's tag team champ. Listen, I give them credit for trying to make it a little bit creative, and it's nice to see Piper Niven back. Let's be honest. You know, this week was an interesting week, wasn't it? If you follow all my shows, we had a rant about Piper Niven not being on TV, and she's back. Last week, who are the two guys that we exposed on how they've been treated like shit in the first 2 months of Collision? Who are the two guys that we said last week? We went on this big rant. The Edema, Miro. And Powerhouse Hobbs. Did you see what happened on Collision this week? It's kind of too coincidental sometimes. But hey, they're back on TV for now. Let's see a month from now where that goes from here. So there's the situation with your tag team championships. Now the other tag team championships. And remember, Kevin Owens still is recovering. So these tag team championships are not being defended. We are teasing possible number one contenders, although I think the Soup Profits may be the next in line to become at least one set of champions for SmackDown. But we have an update on Sami Zayn. And it's a good update. And I want to give props to Kirby Baxter and a few of you out there who DM'd me, who had the same, I got to be careful. You may end up seeing like a giant gobstopper on my elbow if I'm not careful. They had the same injury Sami Zayn had. And yes, John Cena had it too, but John Cena also had torn tricep with it. They explained that what Sami Zayn likely had was an inflamed bursa. The bursa is right here. It's kind of like a tendon. In fact, you know what I did for everybody, anybody on video, you look on your screen right now, that is what inflammation of the bursa looks like, and Sami Zayn is dealing with inflammation of the bursa. If he doesn't aggravate it, it should heal within a few weeks, maybe a month. So that's good news for Sami Zayn. Problem is, Kevin Owens is still out. So now we got what we got tonight on Raw instead. So I wanted to give you those injury updates. Now, we had Drew McIntyre show up on Raw tonight. Now, unfortunately, because Kevin Owens is injured, we got to go the scenic route. because we aren't getting a tag team championship match right now on the men's side. But when Drew McIntyre showed up on Raw and was asked, what's next? Jackie Redman asked him, what's next? And he looked a little bit annoyed. And then Riddle shows up. Oh, Drew, don't worry about it. Everything's cool. Little cheap plug. If anybody out there that, for some weird reason, never tuned into the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, SummerSlam Review and Aftermath, we came up with this.
You know, I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to, if they do it this way, which I would like, I'd like to see Drew on Raw. Mm-hmm. And Drew looks a little bit disgusted. And you have Matt Riddle show up. Come on, Drew. Oh, it's a not a big deal. Drew, come on.
Yes, yeah, they were friendly for that time he made the save. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I a good think one. Riddle like just that, comes like out that. There and just acts like it's no big deal.
Yes.
And Drew McIntyre's yes. like, what do you mean no big deal? And he just beats the fuck
yes,
out of
him. Yes, I like it. I like it, DT. And that's probably happened sooner or later from your lips to God's ears, as they say.
Soon. Soon. Listen, we love Matt Riddle. And by the way, I didn't forget. In fact, I decided tonight, for those that would like to be part of it, this Sunday on the sit-down, since the sit-down is the most laid-back episodes that we do, we are actually going to go on the baby shower registry for Matt Riddle and Misha Montana, and we are going to pick out a couple of gifts for them. Oh, wait. Why is this cut off? I don't know why it's cut off, but part of the family's cut off. I feel kind of bad. I kind of like, yeah, that's a little better. Okay, that's a little better. But, yeah, we're going to pick out some gifts. Yeah. And by the way, the registry is not public. You know, this is just for people that they know. Well, I don't know them well. I'm not going to sit here and try to do that shit. But, you know, I already, you know, had communication, and family's going to give them a little something. I know what some of you are going to say. Matt Riddle makes enough money. You don't need it. It's not that. It's a nice little gesture. Nothing wrong with the family giving a little bit back, right? So anyway, so Drew McIntyre tonight shows up on Raw. Jackie Redman says, what's next? He looks a little bit pissed. Matt Riddle, bro. In fact, we're going to be the Glass Bros. The Glass Bros. So Matt Riddle takes it upon himself because the Viking Raiders tonight issued an open challenge. And Matt Riddle accepted, and he wants Drew McIntyre to be his partner. And Drew doesn't want to be his partner, and this is not what Drew wants to do. And Matt Riddle is like, come on, bro. And Drew McIntyre says, look, if you can't find another partner, I'll consider it. So the Viking Raiders come out. Matt Riddle comes out. We don't know whose partner is going to be for Matt Riddle, and here comes Drew. And we get a pretty basic match. When Riddle was getting his ass kicked early on, if you paid attention to Drew McIntyre, he looked very, very frustrated, but he got the hot tag. You know, it was not smooth sailing once Drew got the hot tag, but ultimately Matt Riddle dove to the outside, took out Ivar, and Drew McIntyre with the Claymore and Eric gets the win. Then they go to the back, and they bump into the New Day. And probably the biggest news coming out of this is Xavier Woods' new haircut. But Matt Riddle is talking about the Glass Bros, and they're going to go for the tag team titles and this and that. And Kofi Kingston feels a little offended. I believe it's his birthday today. And, you know, they're talking about how you can't just come in, win a match or two, and get a tag team title shot. So next week on SmackDown, we are getting Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle versus the New Day. It's not a number one contenders match, but the winner is supposed to be in the hunt of the tag team championships. So now we see what happens next week. Do they pull the trigger early and have Drew turn this quick, or do they milk it for a couple of weeks going into Payback? Now, I have a bunch of matches that are tentative for Payback. We also have a confirmed match. And when you look at this lineup, it's kind of full already. And Gunther now, I almost feel like Gunther versus Chad Gable next week is going to get thrown out. I think what could happen next week is Chad Gable might be this close of winning the championship, and maybe Gunther gets disqualified. And it leads into payback. Because remember history. September 7th, I believe, September 7th is when Gunther passes the Honky Tonk Man to become all-time the longest reigning champion. I think it's the 7th. It's right around that time. But the day before, they're in India. Or it might be the opposite. I think September 6th, he becomes the longest reigning, and then they're going to be in India for the 7th. Because I think, I remember Kevin and I saying that he could technically lose in India, and he still has the record. So I personally think Gunther needs a substantial win right before he surpasses the Honky Tonk Man. So, Rizzo, I don't mean to disappoint you today. He says, you can't wait to hear me go off on the CM Punk drama from the Dirt Sheets. Today, we don't talk much about AEW. We do that on Wednesday. But I talked about CM Punk in great detail yesterday. That, you know, I'll say this. Just, I know we're off track for a second, but I'll say this. What's happening right now with CM Punk and AEW, it's a beautiful thing. And I'll tell you two reasons why. Because when you have, you know, the pirates running the ship and the pirates are not all getting along with each other, you won't have a mutiny. But Tony Khan, what is he going to do? Slap them all in the ass with a ruler? So Tony Khan is getting a crash course as to why somebody needs to lay down the law. The second thing is, I fucking love that CM Punk and others are keeping the journalist in the dark. I love it. Since when in the history of pro wrestling that wrestlers are required to tell a journalist anytime they want to do something? Whether CM Punk took it upon himself to go after Hangman, or maybe there was an insult or something behind the scenes that we never heard about with Hangman, because obviously some of the journalists that get the crumbs protect the elite at all costs. So Hangman Page could have been running his mouth for all you know, and we will never hear about it because the people behind the scenes that talk to the journalists are not going to say anything. So I don't know why CM Punk exactly said what he said, but I will say this. I fucking love that a lot of these journalists are left in the dark. Good. Do you remember about 6-7 months ago that about wrestlers working the media and working other wrestlers? Yeah, it's happened. So honestly, you know, the drama that's happening, we saw this 2 years ago, a year before that media scrum. When MJF walked out, and why report the actual story when you can be part of the story? You know, come on. So honestly, people are just catching up to that shit now. We are so ahead of the game, and I'm not saying that to be a dick or cocky, but facts are facts. And I fucking love that some of those wrestlers there are just doing what they're doing, and they're not calling up journalists to give them the 411 of what's going down. So they're all scrambling. They think they know it all. You think any of these journalists, like, I don't want to say names, talk to CM Punk? Why did you do that? No, they went right to the others. Why did you do that? But meanwhile, you don't know if these guys is a, fuck that. It's like watch women. They're like babies, sissies, immature, unprofessional. And they're getting paid a boatload of money, and they're still doing that shit. So I don't give a fuck. I honestly don't care. I don't care. Just entertain me on TV. Seriously, beat each other over the head with baseball bats. I don't really care. All right. So that we talked about Drew McIntyre. So now we know it's going to happen next week, but soon. Shinsuke Nakamura calling out Seth Rollins tonight. You know, Michael Cole obviously going along with the show. Why did you do that, Shinsuke? The worst kept secret in the world. I want title shot. No fucking shit. Shinsuke wants the championship. So Shinsuke comes out. He's cutting a promo. The crowd is going, what? He starts going in and out of Japan, Japanese, which I loved. And not for nothing, I can't play the audio. We don't want any copyright issues. But if you listen back to Shinsuke, didn't he sound like Ludwig Kaiser, like a Japanese version of Ludwig Kaiser? He sounded a lot like Ludwig Kaiser tonight. I don't know why. By the way, Ludwig Kaiser tonight sounded a lot like Corey Graves. Somebody will get that. So what happens? Seth Rollins comes out. And as we said last week, Seth Rollins would be like, all you had to do is ask. All you had to do is ask. So anyway, challenge accepted. They shake hands. And then we get the exact same thing that Cody did to Brock Lesnar. You know when Cody whispered in Brock Lesnar's ear? Brock looked really concerned. And the only thing that we could come up with is maybe Cody said to Brock, I saw you in the shower. You know, like, we didn't know why. Well, Shinsuke Nakamura did the exact same thing today. Shinsuke Nakamura did the exact thing today. He whispers in Seth Rollins, what could he have possibly said? Your fly's undone. And Seth Rollins has this look of concern on his face. What did you just say? And he's in a trance. So Shinsuke Kinshasa's him. Knocks him right out, just for the fuck of it. It was kind of like, gave me Cody Brock vibes. So, Mark DiMartino says, make lemonade. Oh, I am prepared to make some lemonade. For anybody that is interested, WWE has a new shirt on sale for Becky Lynch. Here is Becky Lynch posing with the lemon. When you get lemons, you make lemonade. So that is Becky Lynch posing in a new shirt that is for sale on WWE Shop. And for those that know why I say this, here is Becky Lynch doing her best impersonation of Dana Brooke. That is an old school joke on this show for anybody that is aware of it. But, you know, I like the shirt. And you know what? I picture people buying it. That would be an interesting shirt to wear in the crowd. But I like it. I like it. She'll make some money out of this. But very disappointed about their match today. I was very disappointed. The continued tease of Giovanni Vinci getting tossed from Imperium continued tonight. Chad Gable had a match against Giovanni Vinci, Gio, as Chad calls him. Actually, Gunther called him Gio also. Vinci has dropped some weight. If you look, he is in insanely good shape. Unfortunately, he lost the match. Chad Gable gets the win with the German suplex, and Gunther is so pissed off after the match that he wants to beat up Fatso. First of all, Gunther, you know, Gunther has a little bit of an accent because he does come from Austria. But if you listen closely, you realize that Gunther lays it in a little bit with the accent, and sometimes he gets in and out of the accent, especially when he was calling Winnipeg today the toilet bowl of Canada. He was sounding more of like a Brooklynite than anything else. But Gunther's so pissed off, he wants to take on Otis. And I got to be honest with you, this match was a hell of a lot better than I thought it would be. I mean, yes, you had your comedy segments and Otis having fun. Crowd loves it. And we picked up on it last week. 95% of everybody else online did not. Ludwig Kaiser trying to give the eye to Maxxine Dupri. And even today, Ludwig Kaiser, you know, why don't you? It almost reminded you of Mr. T from Rocky III. Hey, woman. Hey, woman. Why don't you go to a real man? You know, that's not my Mr. T impersonation, but Ludwig Kaiser basically tell him that you're around imbeciles. You know, we are the creme de la creme. You know, you stay around some European winners. And of course, the expected happens. Maxxine Dupri slaps Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig Kaiser kind of likes it. He just wipes it off his face, kind of looks at it. You know, if this was Attitude Era, it might have, you know, had a little bit more of a reaction. But later on, Gunther, after Gunther beats Otis, Otis goes for the Caterpillar, and Michael Cole was funny. Michael Cole was funny in this match. Michael Cole, what did he say? He said the Caterpillar got splatted. I didn't even know that splatted was a word. And then he says that, what did he say? He said that the Caterpillar became roadkill because Gunther, when Otis was doing a Caterpillar, kicked him in the head twice and then gave him the powerbomb, got the win. And right after the win, Chad Gable hits a German suplex on Gunther to prevent extracurricular activities towards Otis after the match was over. But later on, Gunther reads the Riot Act, Giovanni Vinci, for losing tonight, but he also reads the Riot Act to Ludwig Kaiser for wasting his time trying to impress a woman, which I thought was really interesting because you kind of like split the heat. Like Vinci, you kind of feel bad for because you know where this is going. And like we said, people you see on TV are humans. You can't help but think, like during the house shows and when he goes home at night, he's looking in the mirror and he's been like, I wonder if this is going to be the week that WWE fucking kicks me out of Imperium. That must suck to know you're going to get kicked out of a group and nothing you can do about it. You know, and unfortunately, the IWC is not in droves. Give Vinci a chance, you know, or we want Vinci to stay in Imperium. People are just indifferent about it. So we got that tonight. But again, next week, Chad Gable will get his title shot against Gunther. And as I said earlier, I'll repeat it again. I expect some bullshit antics. It'll probably lead into disqualification. Or, you know, the problem with the disqualification is that Gunther will have a loss. But then again, at this point, it's about history. It's not about undefeated streak. Gunther has already lost a match, albeit a tag match. And technically, Gunther lost the beat the clock challenge. So Gunther having a loss by DQ, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But something's going to happen next week, and I feel that that's going to lead into payback. I think the first time around, they don't want to just hype this up straight to payback. I think Gunther is going to underestimate Chad Gable, and I think Chad is going to get really close, and something is going to happen. And I think this leads to payback. So I don't think Maxxine Dupri leaves them this fast. There's no reason to, you know, especially that Imperium is going to be minus a member soon. You know, Gunther doesn't want Maxxine Dupri. You think Gunther in storyline is going to walk down the aisle with Maxxine Dupri by their side and suddenly he's going to change his mind? No, I don't see that. We had, you know, I thought it was cute, but I knew exactly why they were doing it. We had this inspirational video package for Indy Hartwell. And it was a nice package. I mean, I'm a fan of hers. We've been rooting for her since NXT. I had nothing against her coming to the main roster, but I said it repeatedly even before the draft. You bring it to the main roster, and then what? And then what? She's going to leapfrog Rhea, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Asuka, Io Sky, Bayley. And I'm still leaving out a lot of names. Raquel Rodriguez, even Liv Morgan. You know, everybody's like, oh, put Indy on the main roster. Give her a chance. Give her a chance for what? What you got tonight is her role on the main roster. How do you like it? How do you like it? Hey, Mikey. We had this match tonight, and the video package was for you, for those out there that are not very familiar with Indy Hartwell. WWE wanted you to fall in love with her just a little bit tonight. So when Rhea beats the balls off of her, you feel bad for her. And that's exactly what we got tonight. Rhea Ripley beats Indy Hartwell. And as we even said last week, Candice LeRae gets involved to some extent. And Candice LeRae will probably be the next victim for Rhea Ripley. And then this will segue to Raquel Rodriguez being cleared. And she will attack Rhea Ripley, and that'll be one of your matches for payback. Remember, payback. Raquel Rodriguez wants a little payback on Rhea Ripley. No, she won't win the championship, but she'll get a little payback. So that's where this is going. So Rhea Ripley beats Indy Hartwell tonight. I know we're not doing it in match order. We go wherever the conversation goes. That's how we always do it over here. Becky Lynch, Trish Stratus, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Again, Trish is going to be 48. Becky Lynch, 36, but can still go. The match, disappointed. They tried. They tried. But it did not have a pay-per-view feel. And I know what some people are going to say. Well, it was Raw, so of course it's not going to have a pay-per-view feel. No, we've had some pretty fucking spectacular matches go down in 2023 on Raw. Gunther matches, Seth Rollins matches, Cody Rhodes matches, Finn Balor matches. We could go down the line. We've had some bangers on Raw. This match just felt very plain. You know, Trish Stratus, obviously in Canada, hometown hero. She was even slapping hands with fans, even though she's a heel. She had the mask on for half the match. She took the mask off. Zoe Stark barred from ringside. But then just really, really like a wet fart. The match is going on. We expect Becky Lynch to win in the match. You know, they get 10 minutes, decent amount of time. And then they start brawling in the crowd. And I mean, this referee counted fast, not for nothing. I mean, they were brawling in the crowd for like a couple of seconds. And next thing you know, the bell rings and people are like, what, why? And the referee counted them out. And they decided, yeah, we're going to go all the way up the ramp and we're going to go into the concession area. And we're going to brawl by the shirts, and here comes Zoe Stark in a hoodie. And they two-on-one Becky Lynch, take her out. And now we're thinking, okay, they're not done just yet. Are they going to force this on pay-per-view since they didn't get the SummerSlam match? So now you realize it's either one of two things. Either Trish versus Becky with a special stipulation, other than Zoe Stark being barred from ringside, or you're going to get a tag match. Lita and Becky versus Trish and Zoe. So, as I said earlier, weird Adam Pearce. I'm not calling him weird Adam Pearce. I'm just saying a weird segment tonight. Adam Pearce reading the riot act to Trish Stratus. You squirmed out of another match. Huh? What? They both brawled in the fucking crowd. How come he didn't squeeze the lemon? Seriously. Adam Pearce, I didn't see him squeeze the lemon. How come he didn't read the riot act to Becky? I'm just talking storyline. It was forced, and it was corny, and it was stupid. So now it's going to lead to a cage match. And nothing was said about payback. So we got to wonder, is it going to happen at the premium live event, or is it going to happen on a Raw? My gut feeling says premium live event, because we're already August 14th. It's only 3 weeks away, payback. Now, I'll be in Florida. I won't be able to cover the event. We're going to do predictions, obviously, but it's 3 weeks away. So if they announce, they make the match official next week, I don't want another contract signing. Please, no more contract signings between the two. It would only be Trish's second contract signing because the first one was last month with Becky. But it's either going to happen. I think it's got to happen in payback. It's only 3 weeks away, guys. So, but this match, honestly, it disappointed me. To me, it was disappointing. Now, just to finish up, by the way, funny segment with Miz. I think Miz and LA Knight is going to happen at payback. You got to put LA Knight on payback. You have to. Just because of how over he is right now. I think Miz will show up on SmackDown this Friday. Miz will confront LA Knight. Then maybe LA Knight returns the favor on Raw, and then we set up the match for Payback. I think that's where this is going to go. Now, we didn't talk about Edge yet. That is a big fucking deal, and I'll get into the rumors that he's going to announce his retirement this Friday on SmackDown. I will address it. I will tell you where they came from, and we'll discuss if it's really going to happen. But The Miz tonight talks to Byron Saxton, and he said next week he is going to beat someone bigger than anybody that LA Knight has ever faced. I don't know what that means, but there's not many people associated with LA Knight. So why would LA Knight care all that much unless they try to mock LA Knight in some capacity? So we'll see. All right. That leaves us to two other matches. And I saved them for last because we opened up complaining. I can't criticize the quality of the matches. JD McDonagh versus Sami Zayn was solid. JD McDonagh shows that he belongs in that ring. He's great in the ring. There's no, and you want to know something too? I'm kind of tired of people calling him a munchkin. I mean, I know why they say it, but he's only 1 inch shorter than Finn Balor. That is legit. If you actually see them standing side by side, they're not that much different. Finn Balor actually wears thicker boots, so it may appear like 2-3 inches taller, but they're only 1 inch difference in height. I think Jaden McDonough's 5'10". Finn Balor might be 5'11". But tonight, we had your typical opening, which when I saw it, I'm like, I started thinking about Bill Murray's Groundhog Day. Seriously, you know, like, I got you, babe. It's like 6:59 a.m. again or 5:59 a.m. I literally turned the TV on. And you see, you know, woo, then, now, forever, together. And all of a sudden, and I'm like, I got you, babe. This Groundhog Day. They come out again. No Finn Balor. The Judgment Day. We run Monday Night Raw. Somebody said last week that, I said that sometimes Rhea Ripley sounds like Elmer Fudd. We won Monday Night Raw. So she's like, does the whole shtick again. And Damian Priest says, look, Finn Balor and I are not breaking up, but he, you know, he should be here tonight, telling him, everybody himself, that he's going to be Cody Rhodes. And Rhea, you know, like, we're not going to do that tonight. JD McDonagh shows up. JD McDonagh. And you don't see Finn Balor in this. JD McDonagh. Yeah, look, everybody says Rhea Ripley is extremely tall, and JD McDonagh is a little taller than Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley wears some big-ass boots as well. Rhea Ripley's not as tall as people think that she is, and that's nothing wrong with that. But JD McDonagh shows up, Damian Priest, with a little bit too manufactured words, choose your words wisely. And JD McDonagh says, look, I'm not here to disrespect the most dominant faction in WWE. He relayed a message from Finn Balor that you guys should worry about the real targets, Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn. And Rhea Ripley, she gets on the mic. They don't take orders from anybody. Dominic gets on the mic, and the crowd is giving it to Dominic. And then Dominic didn't do well in social studies. He would cut out of class so he could wrestle some Lucha Libre. Because he found out tonight that Canada is a part of North America, which means he is the champ of this dump. So Winnipeg is not happy with Dominic. But as this is going down, Sami Zayn comes out. And he brawls with JD McDonagh. We go to commercial, we come back, and here's the match. Sami Zayn against JD McDonagh. The match was great. It was great. In the latter part of the match, Finn Balor shows up. earlier they were saying that Finn Balor, Michael Cole was saying Finn Balor was preparing for his main event match against Cody Rhodes tonight, which was funny because right when Michael Cole said that, if you watch social media, the fuck? Why isn't Becky and Trish closing out Raw? And what the fuck? They got screwed at SummerSlam. They're in Canada. Trish, her hometown. Now you know why they didn't close Raw tonight. So they announce, you know, that Balor's preparing for his main event match, but Balor comes out during JD McDonagh's match. Balor tries to get involved. It backfires. And sure enough, Sami Zayn, you know, hits him with the Huluva kick, pins JD McDonagh. JD McDonagh lost, but he held his own against Sami Zayn. Great, great, great match. Great match. Thank you, Psycho. He confirmed that JD McDonagh is 5'10", Finn Balor is 5'11". Thank you for checking that. But JD McDonagh loses, but showed. And you know what? The crowd was really into this match. Of course, Sami Zayn, Canada, need I say more? But they got into the match, which was good. JD McDonagh should be very proud what he had tonight. So then we lead to the main event. In the main event, we got Cody Rhodes and Finn Balor. Now, during Raw tonight, they had a segment in the back where Damian Priest is with Finn Balor and Dominic and Rhea Ripley. JD McDonagh shows up, and Damian Priest rinse and repeat from last year, this is a Judgment Day business. So Finn Balor tells him, look, I'll talk to you later. And Damian Priest, you know, oh, you couldn't come out for us, but you came out for JD McDonagh. And they're arguing, and Rhea Ripley's like, we're not having this tonight. And then Finn Balor is like, look, tonight we can prove our dominance. We got Cody Rhodes to deal with. And they seem like they're on the same page once again. Fist bumps all around, sets up the match later. And then at one point in the match, it turned into like Bugs Bunny or Tom and Jerry or any goofy cartoon you want to come up with, Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, something dumb. We got a tremendous match with Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes. They're tearing it up. And crowd is tremendous behind Cody Rhodes. First, Dominic and Rhea Ripley show up. Dominic tries to get involved. Cody gets a little bit of offense on Dominic. Nobody comes out for Cody. So the match continues. A little bit later on, towards the end of the match, Damian Priest shows up. And here's where it turned into like a bad cartoon. Let me go back. I laughed. I mean, I'm not denying it. I laughed. Rhea Ripley is distracting the referee. And Damian Priest has got the briefcase. Finn Balor's like, give it to me. And like a bad cartoon, Damian Priest slides it. If it was a bowling ball, he nailed a fucking strike. He slid it, and Finn Balor, you know what it looked like? If anybody that's a big fan of baseball, it's like a shortstop with an easy ground ball, and the ball goes between his legs. Finn Balor is like this, and he's like, give it to me. And he's got his hands near the mat, and Damian Priest slides the briefcase in, and it slides right through Finn Balor's legs into Cody Rhodes' hands. It looked, seriously, if you didn't see that segment, or go back and watch it, it looked like a bad cartoon. In fact, I want someone to mix in some like cartoonish audio. It looked like a bad cartoon. It was goofy. Finn Balor's like, give me the briefcase, and he slides it in, and it goes whoop, right through his legs, full speed. Damian Priest, strike. I mean, just, and Cody Rhodes, he wails Finn Balor with it. Kind of hits Damian Priest in the arm and then, you know, hits Crossroads, gets the win. And then after the match is over, little post-match beatdown, then Sami Zayn finally, you know, he finished doing his pee-pee in the locker room. Sami Zayn finally comes out after all this shit. And he tries to help Cody Rhodes. He gets his ass kicked. He gets the razor's edge through the announcer's table. Finn Balor hitting a couple of coup de grace on Cody Rhodes, laying him out. And as it goes off the air, you realize, All right, we know how Raw's going to open up next week. You see, we're on all cylinders. The Judgment Day still runs.
The Judgment Day still runs. Monday Night Raw.
See, I'm thinking too much.
Hello, we won Monday Night Raw.
That's what's going to happen next week. Same fucking shit. And now it's Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn. And now we got to see if Kevin Owens returns. But that's what we got. The Judgment Day proved. They run Monday Night Raw and rinse and repeat. Groundhog Day. Wasn't a bad Raw. But honestly, no joke, if you missed Raw and you read the results online, you could literally just close your eyes and you could see the show in your head. And 10 minutes later, like, yeah, I feel like I watched 3 hours of Raw. It literally, this episode could have been done in 40 minutes. It could have been done in 40 minutes. No bullshit. You could have had, you know, the running in the beginning, the match leading up the main event, and you, Chad Gable and Gunther, they literally turned it into 4 segments to lead for next week. I'm not complaining about the segments, but man, you could have put this episode in 40 minutes and done the same thing. All right. So, as we said earlier, Gunther is this close now to making history. He just passed Pedro Morales, by the way. Honky Tonk Man is the only person in his sights. Now, I ask you all this. Should WWE have the Honky Tonk Man in attendance? Now, they're not going to do that in India. I mean, honestly, with all due respect, even though I'm the Honky Tonk Man and I had the record all these times, I ain't going all the way to India just to be seen. And by the way, Gunther isn't going to show respect to the Honky Tonk Man. You know, so do you bring the Honky Tonk Man on TV in any way, shape, or form? I don't know. Just something to think about. But he will be passing next week. I want to show you a little video. Unfortunately, I can't play most of the audio because if they would have just played the audio of the wrestlers mingling, it would have been much better. But they decided to do some, I don't know, some female, I don't know, like karaoke version of, was it Real American? Hulk Hogan. On Friday, they made mention on SmackDown that he celebrated his 70th birthday. Well, Hulk Hogan had a little birthday party. And there's some video online, and I will show you a little smidgen of the audio, but most of it will not have audio because we don't want any issues with copyright. But if you look at your screen, this is some of the people who attended his party. It's actually pretty cool. Here we go. That's his fiance, by the way. That is fiance. No more Jennifer McDaniel. There's Ric Flair. We got Big Show, Haku. All right, here's where we got to kill the music, though. Did my time, took my chance. We'll sing this. Distance now, I'm back on my feet. So anyway. Oh, it's the Eye of the Tiger. It's some remake of it. So, but that's cool, man. He's looking at all the photos and he legitimately was crying a little bit. That is an awesome birthday cake, by the way. That is a birthday cake. But a lot of legends attended. You know, say what you want about Hulk right now. I mean, obviously he's fucked up, but you know, he's done enough mistakes, but you know, I mean, I grew up a Hulkamaniac. Look at Ric Flair going at it with Haku a little bit. So, it's pretty cool, man. I just figured I'd share a little video. Some of you out there, you may not admit it, but you probably put a little smile on your face. I grew up Hulkamaniac. Trust me, back in 1985, if you would have said to me that Hulk would end up doing half the stuff that he did, I'd be like, you're nuts. There ain't no fucking way. Unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. If he would have publicly repented a little bit more and would have done those speaking engagements and really try to like help others and, you know, admit his mistakes and allow people to confront him with it, I think he would be much more revered in pro wrestling. But instead, you know, it's an afterthought. It's an afterthought. So, all right. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. Oh, by the way, when we do the history show, yeah. What is celebrating what? 21 years, right? 22 years. I think it's a 22-year anniversary, Steve Austin. What? Didn't he start with Hugh Morris? Are you funny? What? Are you Hugh Morris? You think you're funny? What? That's the anniversary. So we'll get into that a little bit. Let me give you a couple of, you know what, before we get to ratings. Holy shit, I almost forgot. We got to talk about Edge. We have to talk about Edge. All right. We know Friday on SmackDown, Edge is going to be taking on Sheamus. First time these two have ever been in the ring. And you know it's going to be a great match. It's going to take place in Toronto. That is Edge's hometown. And reports today started flying everywhere that on Friday, that match against Edge is going to be his last. Now, I don't want to say the newsletter that made this blow up, but they used a cute word in their article, and I'm going to emphasize that word in a little bit. And when I say it, all you're going to think about is when Brian Alvarez always goes, it is possible that CM Punk did not sign. It is possible that Cody Rhodes will not be at WrestleMania 38. It is possible. Oh, fuck you. It is possible. They did it again. Ron Hutchinson, who is the trainer of Edge. Now, the word that they used in quotations was the word basically. Guys, L-Y, how many fucking rants have I gone on? When these goofs use L-Y, they don't fucking know. Possibly, likely, basically, possibly, eventually. Ron Hutchinson, who is Edge's trainer, said that it is likely that the upcoming match against Sheamus will be his final one. Quote, there's a big thing here. A year ago, Edge said he was going to retire at SummerSlam, at the Summer Show in Toronto, at the Summer Show in Toronto. It certainly did not end up the way it was built, but he said that that was probably, here's another L-Y word, Edge's last match. So this is Edge's trainer saying a bunch of L-Ys. So listen, as I wrote on Twitter earlier, never say never in the world of pro wrestling. Edge could still go. He had a fun match with Grayson Waller not too long ago. I don't know how long Christian's contract is running with AEW. I know there was some time added. You know, he was out injured. I wonder. And I this is just speculation, but I wonder if Edge, in talking with Triple H and talking with WWE management, asked, you know, what are the chances that you're interested in bringing Christian back once his contract is up in AEW? Because you would think, especially since Edge is not injured, he might be banged up, he probably is banged up, but since he's not, you know, facing a major injury right now, and he could still go to an extent, you know, like, what's the rush? Like, if Christian's contract with AEW expires this year or expires next year, is Edge going to turn into a pumpkin if he doesn't retire until next year? Like, why the urgency? So I wonder if he realizes, if he's retiring now, I wonder if he realizes that WWE, even if Christian's contract is up, down, you know, in the near future, that they're not interested in bringing him in, which would be a freaking shame because, with all due respect, next to MJF, Christian, I think, is the top heel in AEW. Of course, half of what he says on the mic, he'd never be able to say on WWE. Even if Vince was 6 feet under right now, he wouldn't be able to say half the shit that he does. But he still is so over and so smooth and silk and awesome as a heel. Of course, you know, with Edge going out in a blaze of glory, you know, there's going to be emotion there, but my God, could you imagine Christian on this level as a heel and Edge going out in his last match as a babyface and he goes up against Christian? I think people would love that. So this report going around is that Friday, Edge, after his match with Sheamus, may announce his retirement. I hope it doesn't happen. And again, in wrestling, never say never. You know, for the right price, maybe Saudi money. I mean, don't discount that. Trust me. If he retires and Saudi says, we give $1 million. We want Edge. $1 million. Trust me, Edge will take that and set his kids even better for their future. Or his grandkids, which he doesn't even have yet. There's never enough money in this world. So let's see what happens on Friday. Now, because Friday is a big deal, I decided for at least one more week I am bringing back the watch party. We had the watch party on Friday, and I'm not going to lie, about 75 of you out there that said you were coming did not come. And the numbers of people who showed up was pretty much what they were in February, which is why we stopped it. Now, sure, I'm sure some people totally forgot because we haven't done them in a while, but I'm bringing the watch party back again this Friday, so you're all invited to come. I moderate. I'm heading the ship. I'm mingling throughout the whole show. I'm talking, but we all watch SmackDown. So, you know, you get to watch SmackDown, and guess what? A few people that showed up watched SmackDown on their television. They just hung out in the chat room while they were watching on the TV. Yes, that's fine. So even if you don't want to watch SmackDown on your computer, if you hang out in the chat room and chat with us while you're watching it on your big screen TV, that's fine. You can do that, and it's free. And it's free. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on Friday. But that is what's going around. It's gaining a lot of traction. WWE is not going to say a word about it because it's going to get better ratings. If people think that Edge, his last match, maybe Friday, you'll get some extra people that'll tune in. I hope he doesn't retire. I hope there's no rush. You know, again, what's the rush? I know, listen, it's Toronto. It's his hometown. You know, any of you out there, you think of your hometown and you don't get that opportunity to perform in your own hometown and you feel, I can't go out any better than in my hometown. It's a very, very strong emotional moment for Edge. We don't know the level of family and friends and community that Edge is a part of there. We can only imagine. You know, my neighborhood, I'm not very close with my neighborhood. You know what I mean? So, like, whatever I was doing, if I was retiring, I would say, fuck Howard Beach. With all due respect. I'd be like, the fuck? You know, like, so let's see what happens Friday. But I wanted you to know where this came out. Because a lot of C and D list websites are simply writing, Dave Meltzer is reporting that Edge may retire on Friday. That is so incomplete. I mean, seriously, if that was a book report, you ever write get incomplete when you were a kid? I got a whole bunch of them. Incomplete. You know, I just put my name on the paper. So there you go. And don't forget, on Friday, we got Rey Mysterio and the Grayson Waller effect. You know, we expect Santos Escobar, Austin Theory, and Rey Mysterio possibly in a three-way match at Payback. Rey Mysterio will feel it's ethical to give Santos an opportunity that he should have gotten that Austin Theory ruined. Austin Theory will plead his case that he was not prepared to face Rey Mysterio. And, you know, Adam Pearce likely will pitch the match. It'll be a three-way for the United States Championship. I wonder if this is going to lead to a possible match in the meantime between Grayson Waller and Rey Mysterio. I think Grayson Waller will be a little bit of an extra seasoned asshole on Friday, and I think this may lead to a confrontation between him and Rey. So maybe next week or the week after on SmackDown, maybe we get Grayson Waller versus Rey Mysterio. I absolutely think that could be possible. Sam is going to Toronto Friday. So, yeah, I mean, if you get some phone footage of Edge, if he issues a retirement, definitely send it, because phone footage I don't get hit with copyrights for. Televised, what's on network TV, is where I get in trouble. So, yeah, if you get some capped footage from your phone, I definitely could share that. But Rey Mysterio will be on Grayson Waller on Friday. Now, before we get into ratings, and I got some interesting ones, and I'm still don't understand why people are not reporting like Impact Wrestling and New Japan. I get them every week, and for some reason, people just ignore it. So, yeah, this is actually the official plug for Friday's watch party. But anyway, tomorrow in NXT, we got Wes Lee taking on Dijak. Winner becomes a number one contender for Carmelo Hayes' championship. We have the Schism, the Dyad, taking on Tony D'Angelo and Stax for the tag team championships. I don't know, man. I mean, I know they kind of like brush these photos, and I know we've been a little bit critical towards Dana Brooke in the past, but I looked at this render. I mean, I can't zoom in. I'll crash my software, but whoever rendered that picture of Dana Brooke really needs to be fired. First of all, if you look at the left cheekbone, it looks like somebody punched her in the face. Plus, one eye is a lot smaller than the other, and I swear I didn't Photoshop that at all. I didn't touch it. But Dana Brooke is going to get her ass kicked from Blair Davenport on Tuesday. I want Dana Brooke to turn heel. It has not happened yet. And I'm sorry, man, as much as I love Trick Williams, I can't stand the trucker hat. I don't know what the fuck it is with the trucker hat. It looks like a little kid, or you know what? I do the opposite. It's like a big kid that goes to like a little kiddie bazaar and he wins like a mini helmet and puts it on his head. It looks like it doesn't fit his head. He's wearing a trucker hat. And I know why the hat is elevated. I don't need anybody to, you know, teach me about Trick's hair. I get it. But that trucker hat, there's something about that trucker hat. I don't know. Anyway, he's going to take on Drew Gulak. And I don't know if it's been reported yet. I haven't seen any reports, but apparently something's going to go down tomorrow with Mustafa Ali. I don't know what it is. Few people told me that he's going to make a major announcement. Someone also told me that it may lead to some interesting confrontation with someone. But Mustafa Ali, something is going down tomorrow in NXT. So a few of you are asking me if I was going to do a watch party tomorrow. No. Depending on Friday's turnout, we'll determine if we do them in the future. But I'm bringing it back on Friday because of Edge, especially under those circumstances, be interesting. You know, plus we'll see the advancement, if any. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bloodline take a week off. We talked about it over the weekend. You know, if this is Edge's moment, put everything on Edge. Put the spotlight on Edge. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people attending SmackDown are expecting something to go down with the Bloodline. But I think in Canada, especially, you focus on Edge. This is Edge's night. That's what I would do. Okay, let me give you some ratings from last week. Raw last Monday did 1,890,000. People were making a big deal that it's the highest rating in months. If you follow my show, you know that the norm is about 1,818,000. So it did 60,000 more. You know what I mean? It's not a crazy high number, but it's a decent number coming out of SummerSlam. That is up from the week prior is 1,759,000. The high point of last week was the four-way match that determined the number one contender for Gunther's championship. That did 2,060,000. And the low point of last week was Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez's brawl and the beginning of the Judgment Day versus Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and Shinsuke Nakamura. That did 1,730,000. Again, by the hour three, people are tired. People tune out. NXT last week did 776,000. That is up from the week prior, 717. Dominic Mysterio once again dominating NXT ratings, but Dominic almost got dethroned. Dominic versus Dragon Lee was the high point of NXT. They did 848,000 viewers. More than Balor, more than Rhea, more than Damian Priest when they were on NXT. But they did 848, Dragon Lee and Dominic. Braun and Vaughn did 844. They were this close of topping Dominic Mysterio in the NXT rating. Just wanted to share that. The low point of NXT, unfortunately, Mustafa Ali versus Axiom did 693. AEW Dynamite last week did 846,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior is 894. I call this week rinse and repeat. The high point was MJF, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong segment. That did 889,000 viewers. For the second week in a row, they are tops of the ratings. And for a second week in a row, the lowest part of Dynamite was another Hikaru Shida match. Hikaru Shida versus Anna Jay did 789,000 viewers. And by the way, right before that match, they had a 63,000 viewership drop. So quite a few people decided at 9:45, I'm not sticking around for the main event. It's pretty interesting when you realize you've come this far. You watch the rest of it. 9:45, 63 or 65,000 people said, nah, no thank you. New Japan Pro Wrestling last week did 55,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week prior is 53,000. Impact Wrestling for August 10th did 128,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 121. Rampage this past Friday did 398,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 434,000. The high point from Rampage was the open, Darby Allin and Brian Cage that did 410. The low point was Orange Cassidy versus Johnny TV, formerly John Morrison, did 383. Now, I know some of you are going to be like, wow, Orange Cassidy, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, Johnny TV did the lowest. And it's a little deceiving, and I'll tell you why. This was one of the most consistently watched Rampage episodes in a long time. I know the rating wasn't high. It was only 400,000. But throughout the whole hour, the rating only changed about 30,000 viewers. It stood pretty consistent the whole hour. You did not have any real peaks and valleys. So whoever tuned in pretty much stood for the whole show. So I wanted to acknowledge that. We are always fair on these shows. Now, SmackDown gets a little complicated. Of course, people are lazy. They're not going to fucking do the research. I did. And people that want to throw shade at WWE any way they can, of course they're going to ignore this. SmackDown Friday did 2,097,000 viewers. That is down almost 300,000 viewers from the week prior's 2 million. Actually, it's down. Excuse me, 150,000. I almost said 300,000. I'm looking at the high point of SmackDown. SmackDown Friday, 2,097,000, down from the week prior is 2,249,000. Still, 150,000 viewers is a lot of viewers. The reason why SmackDown was much lower this week was because it was preempted in six different markets due to NFL football. Miami, Florida had the football game on against the Atlanta Falcons. In Cincinnati, Ohio, they had the football game on against the Green Bay Packers. In Detroit, Michigan, they had the Lions taking on the New York Giants. They were watching football. You had the Baltimore Ravens. They were watching football because they were taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Tampa Bay was showing football because their Buccaneers were taking on the Steelers. And the Cleveland Browns were showing football during SmackDown. They were taking on Washington. So those markets did not air SmackDown in its time slot. That's why the numbers were down. Otherwise, it would have been higher than the week prior's 2,249,000. The high point from Friday was the Bloodline and Jey Uso quitting. That did 2,385,000. And the low point from Friday, unfortunately, I've repeated this match before. Didn't it happen at the Garden? Yeah, that was the night that they really cut short the women's segment and AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. Remember how they really cut it short? But this past Friday, the lowest point of SmackDown was AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. It did 1,944,000 viewers. Now, Collision, we won't have August 12th's rating until tomorrow. I will share it on Wednesday Night Dynamite. The week prior, they did 417. Remember, it went up against SummerSlam. So expect a nice rebound this week for Collision. Payback. Right now, the confirmed match and some tentative matches, Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. Rhea Ripley will defend the Women's World Championship against Raquel Rodriguez. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus, cage match, probably will happen at Payback. Too close to Payback to not do it there. Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar versus Austin Theory is a strong possibility for Payback. LA Knight versus The Miz is pretty much a lock. And then people are wondering, do we get Jimmy versus Jay? I don't think so, because they're going to tease this quitting storyline for a little while, especially on WWE, quickly put him in the alumni section. Payback's in 3 weeks. I mean, is he only going to be gone for 2 weeks? Like, wow, that was a quick quit. Like, he's back already. What you will likely see happen is Jey Uso will appear from the crowd, fuck somebody up related to the Bloodline, and then hop back in the crowd and run away. You know, run back into the crowd. And they'll be like, what is he doing here? He said he quit, and he's going to get involved, and he's going to run away. And they're going to do that for a little bit. The first time he does it may be at Payback. But, you know, this idea that Bloodline is going on a one-month hiatus that people are claiming, those are just people that don't know where the fuck this storyline is going. So they put that out there. So, all right, before we get out of here, because we're close to the 90-minute mark, I want to give you a quick preview for this week in wrestling history. Trust me, I know I always put these episodes over, but this is a pretty cool week to tune in if you've never tuned into one before. Here's a couple of photos just to give you an idea of what you will hear. And there's a lot of sound clips of these moments in case you never heard them or maybe you just want to relive them. So first, obviously, we heard it at the beginning of the show. The Ultimate Warrior, you know, is deceived by Jake the Snake Roberts. Now, why do I have the Warrior shown again with the WCW NWO magazine? Well, this week in history, the Warrior made his WCW debut. And I know Eric Bischoff destroys Warrior's segment every time he does an interview because it went so long and it was supposed to be 11-minute segment and turned into a 30, whatever it was. I will tell you, I fucking loved it. And when you hear that crowd go nuts when he comes out, gave me chills when I saw that. I loved the Warrior's debut in WCW. I'm a rarity. So that happened this week in history. Also, this week in history, let me make this a little bit clearer. This is a cool couple of cool moments, man. WCW was in New York City, and they made the announcement this week in history that a new TV show was going to be debuting in the very near future on TNT called Monday Nitro. Sting was there, the Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, Steve Mongo McMichael, Eric Bischoff. That happened in New York City this week in history. Goldust did his first ever vignette as Goldust this week in history. You will hear that. Yeah, we will cover The Rock at the Republican National Convention and Linda McMahon at the Democratic National Convention. This week in history was Rocky Maivia's first promo in A Nation of Domination, addressing the fans who were chanting, "Die, Rocky, die." Legendary, legendary. Oh, we got more. This week in history, Leslie Nielsen. Frank Drebin was searching for the real Undertaker. Anybody remember that? The Undertaker versus The Undertaker. And Frank Drebin, Leslie Nielsen was doing those Naked Gun police squad skits trying to find The Undertaker. Yes, that happened this week in history. Kurt Angle took on Hulk Hogan this week in history. Kane with a very famous, what was it, Beefaroni commercial? Yeah, we played a commercial. Somebody sees a little shade of a helmet. We'll show what that helmet is. But thumbs down, this week in history, Randy Orton became the youngest ever WWE World Heavyweight Champion just to have Evolution turn on Randy Orton. Thumbs down by Triple H. That happened this week in history. We cover it. And then the last of the preview for tonight. It is the anniversary of the Shockmaster. And guys, another gimmick that nobody fucking ever talks about. How come nobody ever covers when the Shockmaster turned into the Electrician? Want to know what that's all about? You got to tune into the show. The Shockmaster becomes the Electrician. And no, it's not because he got electrocuted. Also this week in history, Bobby Heenan showed up on WWF TV with the NWA World Championship, announcing that the real world champion, Ric Flair, was coming to the WWF. I think this is, what, 1991? Finn Balor introduces the WWE Universe to the Demon. And then, finally, for the preview for this week, not just Steve Austin's what turns 22, but this is, believe it or not, everyone, it's already 8 years. Guys, it's 8 freaking years since Brock Lesnar told Heath Slater, "I don't give a shit about your kids." Let that sink in. 8 years already. 8 years. Pretty wild how time flies. And time flew tonight. We're at the 90-minute mark. I'm going to rest the rest of my vocals. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Now, a couple of plugs for those that are interested. As I said earlier, a lot of you were asking when we were going to do the next DTKC show. As you see the Payback logo in the background, we will be doing a Payback prediction show on Tuesday, August 29th. But that is not the only DTKC show next Tuesday. Kevin and I will be on Patreon the 22nd. We will be doing like a Q&A, just interactive show the whole night. It's going to be off the cuff. It's going to be easy listening. So Kevin and I will be mingling next Tuesday if anybody's interested. Also, Thursday of next week, August 24th, we're going to do the next Q&A episode. That'll be open to everybody who hears this. I will be posting tomorrow on YouTube's community section. And that's the best way for me to post it because everybody has access to it. So you'll be able to submit a question or two there, and I will get into them next Thursday. So we got a few things to get into. And then don't forget, you know, we got to sit down this weekend, and we'll have some fun picking out, you know, a little gift for Mr. Riddle and Miss Misha. And I have decided, no, I am not going to drink this. For those that don't know what this is all about, some of you may know that there is a huge Alka-Seltzer cold nighttime shortage. It is so much of a shortage that if you go on eBay right now, a box that normally sells for $8 is selling for $60. There's been a shortage for a couple of months now. The shortage is supposed to be resolved by September or October. But I, on one recent sit-down episode, was talking about how my wife drinks Alka-Seltzer nighttime to go to sleep every night, and we're pretty much out of it. Somebody sent me this. Now, you might be asking, well, DT, what's the big deal about it? Well, if you have acts like real, like 4K, and you could zoom in, I can't put it close because it'll get blurry. But if you zoom in on that, the expiration on this box is May 1997. Somebody offered me $100 to open the box, pour, get a glass of water, drop a couple of tablets in and taste it. Drink 26-year-old Alka-Seltzer nighttime. I have decided not to do it. A lot of you were very, very nervous. You, wait a minute. You guys let me eat 35-year-old WWE popcorn. You let me chew on 30-year-old gum. I mean, we ate some pretty wild stuff, and I would think, like, this might be the weakest thing to have. Remember when we microwaved that WWF popcorn from, like, 1990? This place smelled like melted plastic. But what I will probably do, I'm not going to put this on my shelf. Some people are like, oh, it's a collectible. Fuck that. What am I going to do with this? What I might do in the near future, if anybody that's interested, is I'll just throw them in water and see if they fizz. But I decided not to drink it. So, all right. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll send it to L.A. Beast. Any of you ever see L.A. Beast here? I like L.A. Beast. L.A. Beast is crazy motherfucker. I think he's from Jersey. Maybe I'll send it to L.A. Beast. Because you know what L.A. Beast would do? Actually, you know what? If L.A. Beast, I mean, I know he doesn't tune into these shows, even though he is a little bit of a wrestling fan. You know what L.A. Beast would probably do? And I think you'll all agree with me on this. He would probably eat like a bag of Doritos from like 1985. Or he'll eat like 35 slices of pizza until he's ready to throw up. And then he would pop a couple of these and drink it. So I think he would eat until he was sick. And he'd be like, oh, let me take some Alka-Seltzer. And see, that's how he would do that. So maybe I would. Maybe I'll send it to him. I have his email somewhere. Maybe I'll send it to him. So trust me, I'm not doing it for views. You know, somebody said yesterday, oh, DT, you're doing that for views. Trust me, it's not for views. And what am I going to do, go viral because I drank, you know, Alka-Seltzer from 1997? I want to go viral because we fucking nail the news every time. You know, because everything we talk about, we usually write. That's why I want people to tune in, not because I'm drinking old medicine. So, guys, it's been real. I hope you have a good one. Much love, as always. Thank you for supporting what I do. If you're into the history shows, it'll drop Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern. It's already set up, so it'll automatically drop for everybody. And then, tomorrow night's Patreon. And if you're not part of that, then we got Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll cover NXT. We'll cover AEW. We will talk more about this drama. We'll talk about Matt Hardy, Christopher Daniels, Ziggler's brother, Ryan Nemeth. We'll talk about all that stuff Wednesday. I will try to find out a little bit more, but as a little preview and a prelude and a tease, as I said earlier,
I absolutely love that wrestlers are not running to the journalists to tell them every little thing that they say and do. Leave them in the fucking dark. Make some of this stuff a little bit more interesting. So, good. You know, I don't, journalists are supposed to report the news. But if wrestlers decide they want to work or work shoot or a work that's a shoot that's a work, good. Don't fucking tell anybody outside of the wrestling world. Keep it quiet. I love that in this case, people didn't fucking run to the journalist. Oh, I just did this, and I did this because of this, and I did this because of that. Trust me, I think if there was a big issue with Matt Hardy probably would go on his podcast and talk about it. My gut feeling is Matt Hardy is going to go on his podcast and say, guys, you're trying to turn this into something that it's not. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe it is something big. By the way, this week in wrestling history, remember when Jeff Hardy showed up all zooted in his match with Sting in TNA? You know what people did forget? I think it was a week after that Matt Hardy, didn't he get arrested for DUI? It happened this week in history. So I'm not saying it to throw any smack on Matt Hardy. I praise that guy. That guy cleaned up his act. He cleaned his shit up. He deserves nothing but credit for it. But this week in history, you know, people forget Jeff Hardy with all that controversy with Sting on TNA. Didn't Matt just get hired? Didn't TNA just hire Matt Hardy so they could reunite the Hardys, and then Matt Hardy got in trouble as well? Nobody ever talks about that, so we talk about it this week. Guys, it's been real. Be well. Have a good one. I'll catch you all again soon. Have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.